comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. From the bridge of the KSS mothership, welcome to Talk Radio like nowhere else on earth. We're here because you have a right to know, and frankly, you matter. Now, tonight, we are going to be looking at some pretty interesting stuff. Remember the show I did recently about the Hall of Records and the Giza Plateau? And you remember the show that I did, several months ago about the Tomb of Osiris. Well, the big question with the Tomb of Osiris, the big question we were left with was, what did they actually find in the Tomb of Osiris? And the big question we were left with when we did the show about the Giza Plateau and the question about the Hall of Records, the big question there was, okay, so what does it all mean? Well, you might be interested to know, and you might want to call all your friends and tell them to tune in. I have found a possible link to between the Giza Plateau and one of NASA's top missions. Now, this is not the same as the stuff that you've read in Richard Hoagland's book. Some of it is. But it's not the same scenario that you've read in Richard Hoagland's book, Dark Mission. And look, I certainly give Richard Hoagland lots and lots of credit. And, in fact, that all may be right on target. But I have found a link between the Giza Plateau and one of NASA's top missions. I'll be revealing that information to you tonight, and later in the show I will be opening the telephone lines so you can share your thoughts about all of this, and we can discuss it together. So get your fingers ready to do the dialing. We will open the telephone lines a little bit later, but I do have quite a bit of information I want to share with you before we do that. Now, after the show tonight, I'm going to be mentioning something during the show about David Cereda, and I'll be referring to some information that he put out in a presentation that he gave. It's on video, and we'll be sharing that after the show tonight. So if you're not a member, be sure you join right away. And you can do it right now. It's only $6.95 a month, and then you'll be able to see this show, and you'll be able to see David Cereda and his presentation. I want you to get that. If you haven't had it, if you haven't watched it, we have shown it before, but if you haven't watched it, I want you to be able to get that. All right, now look, we have a free weekly newsletter. It's called The K-Files, and if you're not already subscribed, you got to ask yourself, where's the genius in that? Because there's no reason why you have to sit in the dark. You could be getting our free weekly newsletter, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to, though most people do not. They stay with us mostly. Most of the folks stay with us forever. Go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, click where it says K-Files, and subscribe. We will be back right after this.
Spin doctor spewing nonsense about UFOs and extraterrestrials who is about to run away in fear. This is The Kevin Smith Show.
Well, I want to start out tonight by commending NASA, and I'm doing that not tongue-in-cheek. I'm quite serious about it. I believe in giving credit where credit is due, and I think credit is due on the mission that we're going to talk about tonight. And, you know, it's... What I'm going to share with you is in no way a slam against NASA. What I'm going to share with you is, in many ways, an applause for NASA. Let's go back to Giza, and let's refresh our minds a little bit and make sure we're all kind of on the same page. And look, I know some of you never miss a show. And, you know, you're saying, well, I already know that stuff he said about Giza. But we have a lot of new listeners, and we have people that missed the show, those nights when I talked about, the Giza Plateau. And, so just briefly, I want us to refresh our minds and all of us get on the same page here about the Giza Plateau. You know what's on the Giza Plateau, do you not? Of course you do. There are pyramids, and there is a Sphinx, and there are some other structures on the Giza Plateau. There's a causeway that goes from the Great Pyramid out to where the Nile River used to be. It's not there now. But it used to be there, and there's a causeway that goes all the way out to where the Nile River used to flow. The pyramids are ancient. Everybody agrees with that. Standard Egyptology says that they were built in about 2500 BC. And the Great Pyramid was built by Khufu, and it was intended as a burial place for Khufu. That's standard Egyptology. Of course, they also say that it was built, the entire Great Pyramid was built during the reign of Khufu, so it was built within 20 or 30 years. Now, just based on the number of stones that are in the Great Pyramid, and it numbers in the millions, there have been people who have calculated you would have had to have set a new stone in place every few seconds in order to have gotten it built in 20 to 30 years. We also know that the Egyptians, during that period of time, were using copper tools, and because they were using copper tools, we know they could not have cut those stones. The copper tools they were using simply cannot cut stones of the hardness of the stones that are used in the Great Pyramid. If you think that they did it, and you want to set out to prove that they did it, and I am dead wrong, well, just get you some copper tools that are exactly like those Egyptians had and go cut some of that stone. Just see if you can cut it. After that, we'll talk about transporting those big blocks miles and miles and miles, and then how to stack them up into the Great Pyramid. But, I mean, first, just see if you can cut the stone. If you can, call me, and then we'll go from there, and we'll see what else can be done. And maybe you can prove that the Egyptians built the Great Pyramid, but nobody's done it yet. Been a lot of conjecture and a lot of fiction that has been spewed about the Great Pyramids, but the fact is, we cannot build the Great Pyramid today. We can build something that looks like it, shaped like it, same size, but we cannot build the Great Pyramid with the building materials that were used to build it. We simply don't have the ability to do it. Now, on the Giza Plateau, you've got the three pyramids. You have, it's kind of like Goldilocks and the three bears. You got Mama Bear, Papa Bear, and the baby bear. You got a big pyramid, a smaller pyramid, and the smallest pyramid. And for a very long time, we have been told that these pyramids are laid out in the pattern of Orion's belt. And they look like it. They do. They're in the shape of Orion's belt. However, if you take the star map of Orion, the constellation Orion, and lay it down on top of a satellite photo of the Great Pyramids, it does not match exactly. Everything else about Giza is very exact. It's very precise. How'd they get that wrong? Everything else about the Great Pyramid and about the two smaller pyramids, it's laid out with absolute great, incredible mathematical precision. How did they miss matching the belt of Orion? Well, that's a question that Colin Andrew asked himself. And so he decided, well, perhaps they didn't miss it. Perhaps they didn't. Maybe the deal is that it's not Orion's belt. Maybe there's another constellation out there somewhere that it matches exactly. So he started looking for another constellation that matched the layout of the Giza Plateau. And he found one. And when he did the overlay of the sky map, overlaid over a aerial shot of the Giza Plateau and the pyramids, it matched exactly. Now, that constellation was the constellation Cygnus. Those who are watching our TV channel are seeing now a picture of, it's an aerial shot of the Giza Plateau, and we have two bits of information here. The red dots that you're seeing, those are the stars that are in the constellation Cygnus. The green circles that you're seeing are the stars that are in the Orion constellation. Now, what we have is on the two larger pyramids, right at the top, at the apex of those two pyramids, both Cygnus and Orion have a star that lays down right on top of those two pyramids. But that smallest little pyramid over there, it's in the lower left-hand corner, it doesn't match Orion at all. Because that third star in Orion's belt actually misses that third pyramid and comes down right beside it. But the overlay of Cygnus hits directly on the top of that pyramid. So when we overlay the star map of Cygnus, what we get is we get a perfect match for Giza. Well, that was pretty revelatory, I guess you could say, for Colin Andrew. And he said, well, okay, let's see what else is here. And he noticed that there was a star in Cygnus at every point where there was a major construction on Giza, except for one. So there is a star that matches exactly on the top of each of those three pyramids. And there's a star that matches the a causeway and temple. There's a star that matches a well. But what there isn't, or it matches at, not a well, but a cave entrance. But what there isn't is there is no major construction for one star. And in the photo that you're looking at, if you're watching, it's the star in the upper left. It is called Deneb. Now, in the last show that I did about this, I talked about how Colin Andrew said, well, you know what? There has to be, there's just got to be something there. And what they discovered was a system of caves, and they discovered eventually that the tomb of Osiris is right there underground. Now, we went through all of that, and we're not going to go through all of that again, except I do want to point out that this Giza Plateau has mystified people for many, 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 many years, centuries, millennia. Standard Egyptology says that these pyramids were built in around 2500 BC. Now, anyone who takes a different position from that, of course, incurs the wrath of Zahi Hawass, and he is the Minister of Antiquities for Egypt, and because, you know, he's defending what he has published, and that is that it happened 2,500 years ago. But if you take a look at this photograph, you will see that sort of on the right side, about midway up, there is the Sphinx. It's labeled. You really can't see it too well in this picture because you're looking straight down on it. But the Sphinx is there. The weathering of the Sphinx is something that a geologist by the name of Dr. Robert Schock took a look at. The type of weathering on the Sphinx was easily identifiable as water. Rain water. Lots and lots of rain water. Now, the last time there was enough water in that area of the world to have caused that kind of weathering on the Sphinx was somewhere between 10,000 and 12,000 years ago. So the Sphinx was there the last time there was enough rainwater falling for that to happen, for that kind of weathering to happen. The Sphinx certainly predates what the standard Egyptology story is, and you know they say it's 2,500 years ago. The Sphinx says, no, I've been here for at least back to 10,000 years, maybe 12,000, and maybe before that. But I was here the last time there was enough rain to cause this kind of weathering and this kind of erosion. So we know that construction at the Giza Plateau predates standard Egyptologist date by many, many, many thousands of years. In the inscriptions, in the writings that are available about the pyramid, at the time of Khufu, the only thing that is available says that he was renovating it. Not that he was building it, but renovating it. So there's just no credible evidence for the standard Egyptologist story. The rocks themselves tell us that it's much, 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 much older. But then the question is, who built it and why did they build it? What is it for? And there's all kinds of theories about it. People have talked about it's a power plant. Well, it might be. People have talked about that it was used for religious rites and that it was used for the purpose of initiating pharaohs and so forth. Maybe. That could be true. There's another theory, though, and is really interesting. And those of you who continue watching after the show tonight and you go into after hours with us, we're going to play for you the presentation where David Sereda gets into this. He talks about a lot of other things, but he gets into this. David Sereda, in his presentation, says that the arrangement of the pyramids and the materials from which they are constructed very likely constitute an actual Stargate. Now, David Serrata, of course, is a filmmaker. He is a scientist as well. He's well known in the UFO community, and I think someone that, you know, whether you buy his theory or not, you certainly ought to at least listen to it and give it a hearing and think about it. Now, he says that it matches Orion's belt. I'm not sure about the date on his presentation, and even if his presentation was after 2008, because that's when Colin Andrew discovered that Cygnus actually matches the Giza Plateau. But I don't know, or maybe he had not heard of Colin Andrew's discoveries at the time, or maybe he just thinks they're wrong. I don't know. But he thinks it matches Orion. Nevertheless, his theory is that the materials that are used are resonating at a particular frequency, and the arrangement of those pyramids in the same arrangement as one of the constellations resonating at that frequency, it's sort of an ET phone home thing. And it actually can be used as a Stargate. Again, it's up to you whether you buy that or not, but that is his theory. And he makes a very convincing case for that theory. But what if it's true? What if the Giza Plateau is phoning home? Has been ever since it's been there. What if it constitutes the other end of a Stargate? In other words, in the home constellation of the builders, whoever they may be, there is one end of the Stargate. In this plane, here on Earth, is the other end of a Stargate, arranged in the formation of that constellation and resonating at the frequency of that constellation. What if? We'll be back.
To the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth.
As I was saying, we've been told, and we've accepted it as true, we had no reason not to, that the layout of the Giza Plateau matches Orion's belt. And really, until 2008, when Colin Andrew discovered it, really doesn't match at all. Two of the pyramids match, but that third pyramid, one of the stars of Orion's belt that is supposed to correspond to that pyramid, actually, when you do the overlay and you lay the star map down on a picture of the Giza Plateau, it misses that third pyramid. And Colin Andrew said, well, you know, that's not in character. It's not in keeping with the precision that was used throughout the building of all of the buildings there at the Giza Plateau. They're so precise, so amazingly precise, this doesn't fit. So, you know, a small error like that would be huge. Look, that small error means they built that third pyramid in exactly the wrong place. And that doesn't match. It's not in keeping with the character of the precision of the Giza Plateau. So he went looking for a constellation that does match, and he found that Cygnus does match exactly. So the question then, these very ancient structures that go back before there was an Egypt, I know that really ruffles the feathers of standard Egyptologists, but the facts are the facts. Geological evidence shows that to be the case. So they go back to way before there was an Egypt. The builders had to have had a reason for building. What was their reason? Now, these pyramids may have had many functions. There are people who talk about how they provided electrical power. And I've had guests on the show talking about that. And, guests that have written books about it and are talking about that it's an electrical generating plant. Not the kind that we have, but certainly it would work. It would generate electricity. Well, okay. And as I said, maybe that's it. But what if David Sereda's right? What if the purpose of building these pyramids in the size that they are, placed exactly where they are with the precision with which they are built, and what if the construction, the materials, were chosen all specifically to cause this area to resonate with a particular frequency, the frequency of the home worlds of the builders? Pretty far-fetched, huh? I mean, that's kind of out there, isn't it? Who would believe such a thing? Who would buy into such an idea? I mean, only crazy people would buy that idea, right? Only people that are, you know, out there on the fringe, maybe already beyond the fringe and around the corner. No serious people would seriously think that's a possibility. On March the 7th, 2009, an event took place. A very momentous event. What happened on March the 7th, 2009, was the beginning of something that really could and maybe already has changed our perception of the universe. On March the 7th, 2009, NASA launched a rocket. Now, if you go to my website, KevinSmithShow.com, and you scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show. And you see the Giza Plateau, you see the pyramids, and you see a rocket being launched from behind the pyramids. Well, it wasn't launched from behind the pyramids, but that is actually a picture of the launch that took place on March the 7th, 2009. I just kind of cut it out and superimposed it there behind the pyramids, and I did that because I think there is a link. That rocket had a very special payload on it, a multi-million-dollar satellite telescope. It's called the Kepler telescope. Now, the Kepler telescope is more advanced than Hubble. Hubble is absolutely a fantastic piece of technology. And I think it's one of the most successful missions that NASA has ever done. But the Kepler telescope is a more sophisticated type of telescope in that it can sense, and we shall say see, what the Hubble telescope cannot. The Hubble telescope is an optical telescope. And so it does see things very far away in the visible light range. But Kepler can see things that are either too distant or too dim to be seen in the visible light range. Kepler can sense, it can see things that Hubble would never, ever detect. Well, within the first few months, 6 months or so, of the Kepler mission, the scientists were absolutely gobsmacked. They were finding things they never dreamed possible. We'll talk about some of those things. But the Kepler telescope, orbiting out there in space, is focused on one tiny slice of the sky. That's the only place it's looking. Now, it is looking for, its primary goal is that it's looking for Earth-like planets. Now, you would think if you want to find Earth-like planets, you know, you'd look around, right? I mean, would seem that you would be more likely to find more Earth-like planets if you sort of swing the focus from the left to the right, up and down, really look around out there. Not Kepler. Kepler is focused like a laser beam on one part of the sky. What you are about to see, for those who are watching, is right straight from the Kepler telescope sight. The part of the sky that it's looking at is the Cygnus constellation. And its purpose is to find Earth-like planets, habitable planets. Why do you suspect that when they put together this multi-million dollar piece of extreme high technology, put it on top of a multi-million dollar rocket, and lit a fire under it and launched it into space with a mission to find habitable planets, Earth-like planets, why do you suspect they chose to aim it like a laser at one tiny piece of the sky, and that is the Cygnus constellation? Don't you find that just a little bit interesting? You see, a lot of people knew all about Kepler. A lot of people out there in the public knew that Kepler was aimed at the Cygnus constellation. There were a lot of other people who follow the work of Colin Andrew and Colin Andrews, and they knew that Colin Andrews had discovered that it's the Cygnus constellation that lays down perfectly on the Giza Plateau. But most people never put these two things together. One group over here knows NASA's doing this Kepler mission and they're looking toward the Cygnus constellation. Another group of people over here know that Colin Andrew figured out that it's the Cygnus constellation that lays down right on top of the Giza Plateau perfectly. The pyramids at the Giza Plateau match perfectly the constellation Cygnus. Furthermore, that one star that is in the constellation Cygnus that's out there sort of by itself, Deneb, that one star is precisely where Zahi Hawass and his excavators discovered the tomb of Osiris. Now, Osiris was said by the Egyptians to be extremely brilliant, just, you know, really a great ruler. And he had blue skin. Closely associated with him is another Egyptian deity by the name of Thoth. And he's almost always pictured as a human, except he's got the head of a bird, an ibis. Don't you find that a little interesting, especially since both of these deities were said to have originated from off-world. They were not from this planet. And don't you find it a little interesting that Thoth, who is the deity in charge of all of the wisdom, all of the learning, the mathematics, the science, the medicine, everything that the Egyptians knew about, high mathematics, long before there was a Pythagoras. And that was Thoth that was in charge of that. Don't you find it a little bit interesting that he's pictured as having the head of a bird? And Cygnus is a constellation said by all of the ancient civilizations that resembles a bird. Now, in 16,000 B.C., down to around 15,000 B.C., Cygnus was positioned in such a place in the night sky that Deneb, now Deneb is, that's the star that marks the spot where Osiris' tomb has been found. Deneb was our north polar star in 16,000 down to 15,000 B.C. So the big, easy-to-see constellation up in the sky, the one that had our North Star in it, Deneb, at that time, that constellation was Cygnus. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and our discussion this evening asking the question, what does NASA know? Now, it's just a little bit odd, but fortuitous, I think. Look, this may be all coincidental, but it sure looks like a link. A little bit odd that we have the constellation Cygnus precisely matching the layout of the Giza Plateau. We have a scientist and a filmmaker by the name of David Sereda who is saying, and he explains why he says this. He explains the science behind it. Why he thinks that the Giza Plateau, the pyramids at the Giza Plateau, may actually be one end of a stargate. And how that would function. Then we have NASA putting together a mission called the Kepler Telescope, launching it March the 7th, 2009, multi-millions of dollars, and aiming it like a laser at one part of the sky. It's the part of the sky where the Cygnus telescope, I'm sorry, where the Cygnus constellation is. Could it be? Now look, let me tell you what I'm not implying. I am not implying that NASA didn't know about this until Colin Andrews discovered it. Obviously, this Kepler telescope mission has been many years in the making. many years in the making. They didn't build that telescope overnight, and they didn't build that rocket overnight. It was many years in the making. But Colin Andrews figured out the connection with Cygnus in 2008. By 2008, the Cygnus project was coming together. It had to have been in 2008, sort of in the last stages of construction, because in March 2009, they launched. Well, what this would mean is if there is a connection here, that NASA knew this connection. NASA knew this connection years before Colin Andrews figured it out. Could it be that NASA pretty much knew that that tomb of Osiris was there? Now, that was not excavated until December, let's see, what was it, December 2009, early 2010. So it got excavated at that point. And Zahi Hawass was kind of forced to admit, you know, what Colin Andrews said about stuff under the Giza Plateau might be all right, might be true, after he had already said it's just ridiculous. And then they excavated, and they found the tomb of Osiris. Now, we've never known exactly what they found in the tomb. We got a little thumbnail sketch from Dr. Hawass. But as I pointed out, I'm not aware of any photographs taken right when they took the lid off that sarcophagus. I'm not aware of any photographs of the inside of the sarcophagus at that point. Now, I know they took those. They had to have, because we do have pictures sort of before, as they're lifting the sarcophagus out of that lower pit. As they're working and beginning to get ready to lift the lid off, there are photographs of all that. Strangely absent are photographs that show the inside. Now, much later, we have a picture that shows partially what's on the inside of the sarcophagus. It's an empty box. But what about the pictures taken right at that moment? We haven't seen those. And I kind of think we won't. So we never really found out what was actually discovered in the tomb of Osiris. We just kind of know they found the tomb of Osiris. But it could be that NASA knew it was there. I mean, it appears that they're... I mean, why would NASA aim Kepler at one spot and one spot only, Cygnus? Could it be because of the information they have from the Giza Plateau and about the Giza Plateau that has convinced them, could it be, I'm just asking, could it be that that has convinced them that, in fact, this person known as Osiris and this person known as Thoth were extraterrestrial travelers that came here from Cygnus? Is that possible? And therefore, since they have such huge structures as evidence that somebody came from Cygnus, they decided that if you're going to look for habitable planets, you'll look at Cygnus. Is that possible? Well, it would make sense to me. I do think that NASA scientists would deny that. I do think that NASA officially would deny it. But why are you aimed at Cygnus? Why is Kepler looking only at Cygnus? What's the reason? The mission of Kepler is to find extrasolar planets, that means they're outside of our solar system, that are possibly habitable. And it's aimed at Cygnus. Why would you do that? Why would, well, you get the point. What is the reason? What's so special about Cygnus? Well, the only thing special about Cygnus that I can find is that there is evidence on the ground. And the evidence on the ground is the Giza Plateau. The Giza Plateau is fairly verifiably not built by the Egyptians in 2500. And the evidence on the ground says Cygnus. And so it makes sense to me that NASA would know. Look, NASA has photographed all over this earth with their satellites. They've looked at all kinds of stuff all over this earth with their satellites. This is not something that was new news to them in 2008 when Colin Andrews discovered it. When he discovered it, it became new news to us. But it was not new to NASA. It could not possibly have been. And when they launched March the 7th, 2009, when they launched for the purpose of looking at Cygnus. And with the goal of finding habitable planets. Don't you find that a little bit more than coincidental? As I said, maybe it is. Maybe it is coincidental. But then I would like to know the answer to the question. Why Cygnus? What is it that made NASA choose to look at Cygnus for habitable planets? And then, by the way, did they find any? Well, the Kepler telescope has found 1,235 planetary candidates. Now, that means they still have to be confirmed by other scientists, but they have found over 1,200. Now, up until Kepler, we had a total of 500 extrasolar planets that we knew about. They turned towards Cygnus with Kepler and found 1,235. 827 of those are singles. That means they're one planet around one star. But 408 are multiples. They are solar systems. And there's 170 planetary systems. We'll be back.
America, and you're listening to the Kevin Smith Show, like no other talk radio on earth.
Well, NASA and Cygnus, NASA and Kepler, NASA and Giza, what does NASA know? I think it is one great, great, mysterious story. And it's one I think I would predict that NASA would deny that there's any link at all to Giza. But I want to point your attention to what you know about the Hubble Space Telescope. The Hubble Space Telescope doesn't get just pointed nilly-willy anywhere. The scientists, the astronomers that want to use Hubble, you know, they have to get in line and wait. And they have to, when they make an application to use Hubble, they have to name what their target is and what it is they're trying to observe. And then they get a chance to use the Hubble, and it points at that target. And they try to observe whatever it is they were trying to observe. They have to state what their target is, what their reason is for the research. I would think that when you're talking about the Kepler Space Telescope, I would think that if you one it pointed at Cygnus, there has to be a reason. And the entire Kepler mission is pointed right at Cygnus. What's the reason? Could the reason be that David Sereda is right? Could it be that the Giza Plateau is one end of a stargate? And that we have evidence on the ground of this stargate having actually been used successfully? Is that possible? Telling us then that there are people in that direction on some other planet. Is that possible? Well, if it's all coincidence, it certainly makes for a great movie plot. But I'll tell you something, there's just too much there for me to buy that that's a coincidence. There are too many millions of dollars invested in Kepler for it not to have a particular specific reason that it's looking specifically at Cygnus. And looking at Cygnus, it found tons of planets. Not only that, it found tons of solar systems. One of those solar systems has six planets around it. Now, it found, if you want to say a solar system, it found a whole bunch of these. It found 827 planets that are, it's a single planet in orbit around a star. But they found 408 planets in multiple groups orbiting a star. Like our solar system is a multi-planet solar system. That's what they found 170 multi-planet solar systems. Add all those planets together, you get 408 planets. But it goes beyond that. The Kepler has found habitable planet candidates. In other words, they have found planets that are habitable if humans went there. Now, I know the critics of this show will say, no, they found habitable planet candidates. Well, a planet candidate means they have discovered it. They have discovered that the conditions on that planet would be conducive to us, our kind of life, but it still has to be verified by additional scientists. That's their process. But have they been discovered? Yes, they have. So NASA's looking at Cygnus for some reason, and bingo, it's loaded with habitable planets and solar systems. Don't you find that just a little bit beyond coincidence? Don't you find that just a little bit hard to buy as just coincidence? Well, I think the connection is there. But I could be wrong about that. I'd like to know what you think about all of this. Our telephone number, and the lines are open, our telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you're a first-time caller, you can call us on the first-time caller line, and that telephone number is 623-237-3814. If you're outside of the USA and you are outside of Canada and you don't wish to make that international long-distance call, there is another way for you to communicate with us, because international long-distance is expensive, and that is you can use our flash message feature. All right, let's go to the telephone line, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hello, Haya.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing
great.
Such
a wonderful you know, information that you've brought out, and that also makes me realize why they're building that huge wall around the Giza Plateau.
Good point. Why do you think that wall is there?
I think it's to keep people out, to control people.
Mm. Could it be they suspect?
If they don't want people knowing what's going on, the only way they can do that is by controlling the numbers, who can comes in, who comes out.
Mm-hmm. It could also be they're expecting visitors.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Mm.
Why would the American military be over there so often, I've noticed? I've been doing a lot of research, and I've found a few places. I can send you some more info, but I've noticed a lot of the American and Egyptian military have been working together around the plateau area.
Yes, they have, and that's a huge question. Why the U.S. military at the Giza Plateau?
Well, it's kind of like why the U.S. military, when they first went into Iraq, and headed straight for the museum.
Kind of mysterious, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, it took me a while to put these dots together and you know, link the dots. And look, I readily admit, maybe I'm wrong, but I think the thing that brought it together.
Target than people want to admit, because when you start thinking about it. I did the same thing that Andrew Collins did, and I started looking what he had found out, and I thought, my God, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Checking out this, checking out that, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. They've known for a long, long time.
They have, and you know, I think this is just my opinion, but I think they knew before they put Kepler up there. I think they knew. There are not only habitable planets, but inhabited planets. Now, that's something they haven't told us about yet, inhabited, but they certainly have found habitable planets, and they found them in Cygnus.
Well, you know, Kevin, I've met a few people, old military retirees, that have been in Black Ops, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I'm going to meet another one this summer. I'll tell you all about it after.
Okay.
But every time I've listened to these men, and they've been part of the disclosure group,
mm-hmm.
They've all said the same thing, just like Andy had.
Mm-hmm.
Basagio, remember?
Mm-hmm.
He was in DARPA as a child. Others have been in black operations there, and if you keep on going back, the credible ones keep on repeating the same thing over and over. Their story always still stays the same all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start connecting all these dots with these guys, you start realizing that they're telling you the truth.
Well, I certainly think that there is. I mean, this is my opinion. I want to make that clear. But my opinion is that there is a link between the Giza Plateau, Cygnus, Kepler, and NASA.
I would agree with that. And you're not the only one that would agree with it, because on the Egyptian tombs, actually, that's another person you might find interesting is William Henry. But he's done a lot of research on what we class as so-called mythology,
mm-hmm.
but really isn't mythology. And as you start breaking down things, yes, he's coming up with some remarkable information just from reading a lot of the stuff that's been on the tombs, you know, a lot of the stories, a lot of the information. I mean, it states even in the Bible, an old text, it states, different groups came from off-world to this planet.
Mm-hmm. It does.
If you look around all over around the world, you have the Egyptian pyramids, you've got the huge giant white pyramid in China, you have the massive pyramid in I think it's Bosnia.
Yeah.
We have Easter Island. I mean, everywhere you look, if people open their eyes and keep a clear mind, they're going to see that there's no way we can even do anything like that today.
Mm.
We just don't have the technology.
Well, you've heard me say it. Anybody that thinks that we could do it, just go do it.
They've tried. But yeah. It doesn't work, though.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. No. Hiya, thank you for the call.
You're welcome, and have a great evening.
Thank you much. What about Cygnus, the Giza Plateau, Kepler, and NASA? Now, look, maybe what I've presented to you here tonight, maybe you think this is just nonsense. Well, it's okay to call me and tell me that. I don't break, all right? I mean, if you think it's nonsense, maybe you've got some information I don't have. I'd like to know it. If you think that there is a connection, but you have some additional information or just a comment or two, let's hear from you. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Telephone lines are open. The flash message line is open. And if you have something that you wish to contribute to the conversation here tonight, please do. The question, what does NASA know? I think they know that not only before they put Kepler in space to look just at Cygnus, I think before they did that, they knew not only would they find habitable planets, I think they knew there are inhabited planets in Cygnus. And I think they knew it because of the evidence on the ground in the Giza Plateau. Far-fetched? Well, it might be. Nuts? Could be. What do you think about it? Give us a call. Let's talk about it. 623-444-5889. First-time callers, if you've never called the show before, you can call us on the first-time caller line. It is 623-237-3814. Well, look, there seems to be pretty much an agreement worldwide amongst the masses. Something's up. Something mysterious is up. A lot of people think something evil this way comes. Could it be that they, you know, that we hear a lot of talk about how the very top intelligence services, especially military intelligence, how they're really concerned about an invasion from space? Well, I'm not part of that top intelligence group. I'm not part of any intelligence group. And I don't have clearance to know all those things that you have to have a need to know. So for me, it's I hear the stories and I have to say, well, I don't know, it could be. But it is interesting, isn't it? It is interesting that if Colin Andrews is right, which he is, and that is that Cygnus is the star system, it's the constellation that matches the Giza Plateau precisely. He is right about that. That's really not in doubt. He is right. It's not Orion's Belt. It is Cygnus. Now, if David Serrada is right, and the Giza Plateau constructions are actually a functioning stargate, or were functioning, I don't know if they still are, but were functioning, if that's right, then and his theory is that they are built to match the resonant frequency of the home constellation, the home planet. If that's true, then we understand why NASA would be looking at Cygnus, do we not? We understand why NASA would be interested, because somebody built those, and if they understood all of that science, they must have come from there. If they came from there, there are others over there. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, is there any chance that that's why all this interest over in Iraq and Egypt and all those stargates, that maybe they're going to use the stargate to go to Cygnus?
Well, I don't know. Or maybe somebody, maybe they suspect somebody is coming from there to here.
It could be.
Mike, it seems, and I can only say it seems, I can't prove this, but it seems that, you know, there's a lot of information out there about people high up being worried about incoming visitors.
Well, you know, that show, the event, is kind of indicating the same thing.
Yeah, you know, I got an email about that today, and I haven't had a chance. I saw it just before the show. I didn't have a chance to check this out. But the email said that the last event, the last episode of event, will have people coming through the Stargate to Earth, only that episode has been canceled.
Yeah, I watched the closing event the other night, and it indicates that somebody's coming, but they didn't show who, and it turns out that the reason that they're coming is because this is where they originally came from, and they went out there, and now their planet's dying, so they want to come home.
That's kind of like international corporations leaving America to go get cheaper labor somewhere else. And that's not working out real well for them, and now they want to come home after they broke us. I'm not sure I want them back.
Well, you know, the problem is that there's 2.5 billion of those, and the main topic of the event was that when they get here, back to this planet, they're going to transform to a higher form of life that doesn't need physical body the way I understood the show. The humans that are here now will be destroyed by that event.
Well, if that's what's coming, I'm sure I don't want them coming back. Mike, yeah, thanks for the call, man.
All right, you take care.
I appreciate it. All right, to our first-time caller line. And, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Barrett from West Virginia.
Okay, Barrett.
I was possibly the whole SETI thing being shut down. Possibly that has something to do with your theory about them expecting somebody.
I wondered about that. You know, why would the government suddenly say, okay, we're not going to fund SETI anymore? But they did.
Exactly.
They did, and when they did, it caused SETI to say, okay, we have to stop looking for signs of extraterrestrial life out there. Well, when they stop looking for signs of extraterrestrial life, guess what? They won't find it.
Right.
And, you know, and could it be that the point is they already found it?
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about this connection that I am hypothesizing between the Kepler mission of NASA and the Giza Plateau?
Oh, 100%.
To me, it looks pretty obvious.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people just really need to open their eyes. People are just so closed-minded anymore. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. What's the weather like in West Virginia tonight?
It's about 70 degrees. Not too bad.
Not too bad. So you're not getting any of this these horrendous storms.
Oh no, I heard about that. That's just horrible.
Yeah. All right. Well, Barrett, I want to thank you for the call, man. Don't make it a long time before you call us again.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. Sometimes things look obvious to me that don't necessarily look obvious to everybody else. The same thing is true for you. Sometimes you see something and, man, that just looks obvious to you. And people around you go, what? I don't get it. So maybe what looks obvious to me here, maybe you're saying, I don't get it. And, it, you know, look, if that's the case, feel free to call and tell me that. It's quite all right. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is John in Mesa again. How you doing?
I am doing well, John. How are you?
Good. I had heard years ago, and I just looked it up again on the computer again, that some, not all, of the copper tools, especially in the Mayan civilizations, had a hardened copper alloy. And I found that it's made with copper, tin, lead, iron, cobalt, and sulfur, and then one other element called thallium, selenite, sulfide. And
okay, but that would be South America.
But yeah, it is.
Yeah, and there hasn't, I'm familiar with that. They haven't found anything like that in Egypt. Now, that doesn't
Correct.
Mean it didn't exist. Maybe it did, but they haven't discovered that in Egypt.
Well, and there's much discussion about how the later Egypt was a lesser civilization than those that built the pyramids, and so maybe they remembered that they made copper tools, but they didn't remember how to make them hard.
Mm. Well, it could be, but, you know, if you take the standard Egyptologist story that these pyramids were built in around 2500 B.C., and you look at the tools that were available in 2500 B.C., they could not cut the stone. And
well,
so my point is not that people, I'm not saying that humans were not involved in the building of the pyramids. What I'm saying is it wasn't those humans at that time.
Or done the way that they have proposed that it has been done.
Right, right. And, you know, perhaps it was built entirely by humans, but certainly the intelligence behind how to do it, that's way beyond humans. That's beyond us now.
Well, it's definitely, if it was human, it was, like you say, knowledge that we no longer have or we had help from someone else.
Yeah, and, you know, since, yeah, look, when Pythagoras came along, higher mathematics got to us.
Right.
Okay, and geometry. Well, the pyramids predate Pythagoras by thousands of years. John, can you hang on just a moment?
Yeah.
All right, you hang in there. We'll get to you when we come back from break. We'll be back. Traveling the nighttime together, you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show. And on the telephone with me is John from Mesa, Arizona. John, you know, whoever built the pyramids had knowledge of extreme high mathematics and geometry. Furthermore, they had extremely high knowledge of astronomy. And so, you know, if humans actually did the labor, and I doubt that, but if humans actually did the labor on the pyramids, then certainly the brains behind the operation had to be from elsewhere. Because we humans didn't, quote, discover all of that high mathematics until thousands of years after the pyramids were built. So, you know, the brains behind the operation, I think, certainly had to be from off-planet.
I totally agree.
And, you know, I think Colin Andrews has made the case, and I think he's made it well, that it's not the belt of Orion that the Giza Plateau corresponds to. It's Cygnus. Because Cygnus matches and Orion's belt doesn't. Well, what do you think about this connection? What do you? I'm hypothesizing a connection between the Giza Plateau and the mission of the Kepler telescope. What do you think?
Well, I'm thinking that you're right about all points. One, the technology needed to build a pyramid, and the astronomical location of it, and pointing to Cygnus and the sheer number of habitable planets between here and Cygnus is quite suspicious or almost conclusive that there's something going on between these two points.
Well, I agree, but I'll tell you something. Because of all of that, and because of various events taking place at the Giza Plateau, more and more and more and more of the Giza Plateau has become more and more and more secret. Look, for millennia, it's just laid out there in the desert. Anybody could go up there and see it and climb on the pyramids and all that. And I understand you can't have people doing that. We got way too many people on the planet now that want to do it, so you can't. I understand that. But more and more and more of the Giza Plateau and the information about it is becoming secret. The lights are going out. And now they're building a wall around the Giza Plateau. And you're not even going to be able to, you know, you'll be walking very close to the pyramids and you won't be able to see them because there's a wall next to you.
That is suspicious.
Yeah, well, when you put all that together, it makes me think David Serreta may be right. And maybe it is a Stargate, and someone's coming.
You don't really need a big wall to keep people out. You know, 6-7 feet high is all you need to keep people out.
So yeah.
If you're building a higher one, you're keeping them from seeing something.
Well, you could put up a chain link fence.
True. And achieve the option, you know, the keeping of people out.
Yeah.
You know, any kind of fence.
Mm-hmm. I think all of those things together conspire to provide us with the information that there is a link. Now, that's just a hypothesis. It's my opinion. But I think there is a link between the Giza Plateau and the mission of Kepler Telescope. Why else would you build a multi-million-dollar telescope, put it on a multi-million-dollar rocket, shoot it off out into space, and have it look at just one constellation?
Exactly.
You know?
They've obviously found things that they want to look at more closely to the tune of billions of dollars.
Yeah.
With the hundreds of billions of stars that are out there.
Yeah, and
billions of dollars to look at that one.
Well,
is interesting.
Yeah, and then look, add to that the space-based space surveillance system of the U.S. Air Force, whose purpose it is to identify and track deep space forces. That's pretty interesting. Okay, John, thanks for the call, man.
All right, yeah, I'm going.
All right. Well, what do you think about all of this? Jump on into the pool. The water is fine. Telephone number is 623-444-5889. Or if you're a first-time caller, you can call us on the first-time caller's line. It is 623-237-3814. Charles in the UK says, hi Kevin, you sound like the people in the Cold War who saw a communist behind every rock. It sounds as if you see a coincidence or conspiracy behind every little event. Okay, Charles, thank you for the flash message. I will tell you that I never saw a communist behind every rock. I will also tell you I do not see this as a conspiracy. I started out the show saying I don't see anything nefarious about this. I mean, you know, they didn't tell us about it, but I mean, this is good. This is good. Kepler telescope is looking at Cygnus. I think the reason is because NASA knew there was a connection between the Giza Plateau and Cygnus, and further, there was some reason, there was something about the Giza Plateau that said to NASA, if you look at Cygnus, you're going to find inhabited worlds. That's what I think. Am I right? I don't know. Do I think I'm right? Sure, I think I'm right. I wouldn't be telling you this if I didn't think I was right. But that doesn't mean that I am. I could be dead wrong about it all. Something, though, I think, my opinion, something about the Giza Plateau said to NASA, hey guys, if you look this direction, you're going to find inhabited planets. Now, what was it about the Giza Plateau? Well, it does match Cygnus. That's true. No question about that. It matches Cygnus. But that's not enough. I mean, I could set paper cups in the parking lot in a pattern that matches Cygnus. That's not enough. What else is there? Well, there is the tomb of Osiris, isn't there? There is alleged to be the Hall of Records. We keep being told that there is no such thing as this Hall of Records. We keep being told that it doesn't exist, it's mythology, somebody just made it up, it's nonsense, go away, boy, you're bothering me. That's what we keep being told. But we were told there were no caves under Giza, too. Not only are there caves under Giza, when Dr. Hawass put his team digging right where the star Deneb would fall on the Giza Plateau, they found the tomb of Osiris, who's not alleged to be from this planet. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Victoria from Washington.
Hello, Victoria.
I've been enjoying your show tonight, and I don't know if I wrote you this or I think I did, but I don't know. But I have this book which I think ties into some of the things you've been talking about tonight, and I'd like to recommend you interview Joseph Farrell. He has a new book out, just came out, Genes, Giants, Monsters, and Man, The Surviving Elites of the Cosmic War and Their Hidden Agenda. And a lot of this kind of ties in with ancient Egypt and Sumeria and Osiris and, you know, how the names of the gods change and maybe even where these people came from. It's a fascinating book, but Joseph Farrell is an Oxford scholar, doctor, PhD.
Yeah, he's been a guest on the show. He's been our guest several times on the show. And the last time he was my guest on the show, I think he was finishing up that book. So it's a good time. We'll give him a call and see if he can come back and talk to us about it.
Oh, do, because you know one thing I wanted to throw in, which I read in the book, I got out of the book, was some of this the cuneiform from Sumeria, how it spelled certain words, and that some of it could be translated to the word Thutmose. The pharaoh Thutmose, who is thought to perhaps be either a descendant of Thoth or something to that nature. And also the word Thutmose is related to the word Moses.
Mm-hmm.
which is, of course, in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And anyway, there's some connection to some of that, and even our biblical history, which I think would be fascinating to talk about if you can get him on your show. I hope you do.
Well, I'll send him an invitation right after the show tonight. We'll see what he has to say.
Great, great. And, yeah, I'm fascinated about your sickness, which seems to be one of the constellations that I've always been attracted to. And I think it comes out in the summertime. I mean, I think it's more visible in the summertime, isn't it? In the north part of the sky?
I honestly don't know. I am absolutely a zero when it comes to astronomy.
Well, yeah, anyway, I think it's quite apparent, not on a really bright moonlit night, but one where it's dimmer, but it's really apparent out there, and you can just see it. It's just spectacular. So I hope people go out sometime at night when it's clear and see if they can give it a find.
Yeah, and certainly it's worth looking at. NASA has spent billions to look at it.
Well, I'm kind of surprised about all of the solar systems that they say are there,
mm-hmm.
that are similar to what Earth's solar system is, and I didn't know that.
Well, and that's just in the first 6 months of using Kepler. That's what they found just during the first 6 months. So there's more on the way.
Well, when are we going to get it?
I don't know. I guess when they get that wall finished around the Giza Plateau, maybe they'll release some more to us. But I think they've already found inhabited worlds there. I think they know about inhabited worlds. Now, they're telling us about worlds that are habitable, but I think they already know where there are some that are inhabited.
Oh, I would not disagree at all. In fact, I could probably tell some stories that sound pretty fantastic, but I won't. But I think there are a lot of hints that are in sci-fi.
Victoria, a break just took over. Do you want to hang on, or does that do it for you?
Sure, I'll wait.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and on the line with me is Victoria from Washington. Victoria, we had to cut you off in mid-sentence. I want to give you the opportunity to finish your thought.
Yeah, well, I was trying to think where I was, but there were just a bunch of things I wanted to get in here, and I know there are probably other callers waiting. So I was just thinking that some of the tie-ins to the movies and films and things that are going on right now, and someone mentioned The Event, the TV series The Event, and I thought, gee, isn't that coincidence? A, again, we have another black president, and B, in November we have this asteroid that's supposed to pass between Earth and the Moon, and then there's supposed to be another asteroid that is supposed to have like a 25% chance of hitting us in about 130 years or something like that,
mm-hmm.
to NASA.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe this is, it's like there are these things happening, weather changes, and I know that I just wanted to mention that this book, I think it was this book or maybe it was one of your shows, I'm not sure, I took notes on it, but it said that when we have, and this was recorded in the 12th century by a monk in the cathedral at Abbey, Canterbury Abbey, that the seven blazing stars hit the moon, and the moon shook visibly like a snake, and the light of the moon went out for several days. And I'm thinking, well, it sent so much dust and debris up into the air, it probably blocked the light of the moon.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I'm wondering if that thing that's coming in November has a chance. They say, well, it won't hit Earth, but does it has a chance to hit the moon?
Well, it might. If it does, we may see the same thing the monks saw. Victoria, I want to thank you for your call. Very interesting information. And I will send that invitation to Joseph Farrell right after the show tonight, so maybe that'll work. Again, thanks for the call. All right, we have time for one more call if you call right now. The telephone number is 623-237-3814 for the first-time callers. But if you're not a first-time caller, call us on our main number, 623-444-5889. Is it reasonable to connect these dots? Well, I think it's reasonable. Would it be reasonable to say that this is for sure how it goes and that it's not just coincidence? No, that wouldn't be reasonable. We don't know. So, I'm not saying that I know this hypothesis is real. This theory or hypothesis. But the information that I have given you during this show is real. Whether it connects, whether the dots all connect up to make the hypothesis or not, that's something you have to decide. But the information that I have shared with you is very real information. The graphics, those of you who are watching on our TV channel, the graphics that you have seen of the Kepler telescope, of Cygnus, the graphics that talk about the accomplishments of Cygnus are right off of the Kepler mission website. So we haven't manufactured anything. We haven't, this is not spin. This is not exaggeration. This is just how it is. This is the information, and it appears that the dots connect. Do they? Well, I think so, but you have to be the judge for yourself whether you think they connect or not. And remember, on this show, I never ask you to believe anything. We just present the information. The fact is the Giza Plateau does match precisely the layout of the constellation Cygnus. The fact is that the star Deneb in the Cygnus constellation marks the spot at the Giza Plateau where the tomb of Osiris was found. The fact is we were never given anywhere near complete information about what was actually found in that tomb. The fact is, on March the 7th, 2009, NASA launched a multi-million dollar, maybe multi-billion dollar telescope atop a multi-million dollar rocket out into space with the mission of looking for possible habitable planets. And the fact is, it is aimed directly at Cygnus. The fact is, they have found with the Kepler telescope during the first 6 months, they found 1,235 planets. The fact is, they found 408 of those planets are in groups around stars, in other words, solar systems with multiple planets around them. The fact is, they found 170 of those solar systems. And they found habitable planets. So do the dots connect? Well, you have to be the judge. I don't think it's anything mysterious or nefarious. Well, mysterious, yes. but nefarious and dark and evil about this mission. It doesn't appear to be. If the hypothesis is correct, then the only thing that you could say NASA failed to do was tell us about it. But we're used to that. But looking for and finding habitable planets, that's a good thing. Telling us that they found habitable planets, that's a good thing. And it just very well could be, ladies and gentlemen, that all of this news coming out of NASA about having found all these solar systems with planets and a lot of habitable planets out there in that one constellation, the fact that they're telling us all of this may be leading us up to softening us up for disclosure. Some people say that's crazy, and in fact, on most days I would too. On most days I would tell you that I don't think we're ever going to get government disclosure in the United States that says, yes, doorknobs are real. I don't think that's ever going to happen. But when I look at this, it looks to me like they're beginning to soften us up for something like that. They're beginning, maybe soften us up is not the right term. Maybe I should say they are beginning, it appears to me, they are beginning to butter us up to get us ready for the news that we are not alone. Those of you who listen to this show on a regular basis, most of you already know that we are not alone. Most of you have no doubt about that. But the masses around the planet are not all in that category. The masses around the planet basically are massively uninformed about most everything. So this could be buttering up the masses to get the masses ready for the information. We are not alone. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. And don't forget, at the close of this show tonight, those of you who are members of our show, you've joined our members area, which, by the way, is only 23 cents a day, $6.95 a month. But you've joined. Remember that coming up right now is David Serrato's presentation, so don't go away. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.